This is one of those weekends where, as I reflect on the songs that we've sung already and the stories that you've already heard shared, I'm just full with emotion about the significance of this season, about the sacrifice that's connected, you know, later on as we reflect on the life of Christ. It's just a morning where I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you for coming into the world. Thank you for saving me, saving us. It's a good weekend. So I'm going to continue on with our worship, and I'm going to preach. We have been in a sermon series we call Better, walking through the book of Hebrews, and we've been in it since early October. It's kind of walking through a chunk of scripture at a time in the book of Hebrews. I would encourage you to turn there now if you can. If you have a Bible, or if you use your phone or your tablet, or if you need a Bible, there are Bibles available in the room. You can certainly pick one up from the sides. And just want to be in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be talking about a better kingdom, a better kingdom. We've talked about how Jesus is just simply better, better than anything this world has to offer. And we talked about how he's a better savior, and there's a better promise and better covenant that comes through Jesus, and there's better cleansing and better rest available through Jesus. We've just been talking about how Jesus is better. And so I've enjoyed walking through Hebrews and enjoyed seeing how some of you have been reflecting on just how life is better as you follow Christ. And so we continue that today. I'm wondering if you could do me a favor and give greetings to our Nagpur, India campus by way of applause. Just celebrate. I'm not always quite sure which service that they will be observing, and so or which sermon. So it's just good to greet the Nagpur campus. And also, would you give it up for the young people that we have the opportunity to reach in the juvenile detention facility? Can we let them know that we love them? So before I dive into the text, I need you to know I discovered a phenomenon in the last few years that I did not know existed. And that phenomenon is this, that there are some people who, when they sit down to read a new book, they get a book for Christmas or for a birthday, or they are at the bookstore deciding if they want to buy a book. They sit down on a comfy couch, and before they read the front end of the book, they will turn to the back of the book and read the last chapter before they decide if they want to read the whole book. Because they're trying to figure out, does the main character make it? Does the bad guy get caught? I'm just curious, by a show of hands, if you would be willing to confess, how many of you read the end of the book before you decide you're going to read the whole book? Raise your hands. Don't be shy. I see a few of you. I did not know you existed in the world until recently. There are some of you that will, before you watch a movie or a TV show, you'll DVR, you'll record the whole thing, then you'll fast forward to the end to decide if you're going to watch the whole show. Now, some of you are shaking your head. You're thinking, I need the tension. I thrive on the tension. I've got to wait and see. But others of you say, I do not want my heart rate to get up. I just need it resolved on the front end. Well, for those of you who are like that, you're going to enjoy today's sermon. I am going to start at the end of the text. Hebrews chapter 12, 18 to 29 is where I'll be, but I'm going to start at the end. I'm going to resolve some tension for you. I remember as a kid, people would say in church sometimes, they'd say, I've read the book. They're talking about the Bible. And in the end, we win, right? That's what they would say. And they were talking about the confidence that we can have that Christ is coming back at the end, that all of the things that seem wrong in the world will be made right one day. Jesus is coming back to take us to heaven where there'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more suffering, no more shame. There are people that say, that's what I know. That's why I have confidence in this world. And there is great hope in that. But today I'm going to start at the end of the text. But before I dive in, I'm going to ask if you would join me in a word of prayer. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend some time in your word. Lord, I know that there are folks here who have been here at KCC many, many weekends, and they have been a part of this church family for many years, and they've heard multiple sermons proclaiming the goodness of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would use this message to speak to them in a fresh way. And Lord, I know that there are others that are here for the first time. And maybe they're here for the first time and they have a relationship with you. And maybe, just maybe, Lord, they don't. And all of this is new, even the idea of singing songs with words on the screen. It may feel like some kind of large group karaoke or something going on. Lord, you know where folks are in their journey. And I just pray that wherever we find ourselves, you would speak. Speak powerfully, Lord. Speak to me. Speak through me. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand and digest and then apply what it is you want us to take from this text this weekend. And Lord, we trust you. We trust that you have something of value to say to change our lives, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want you to say this one word. It's a four-syllable word, unshakable. You can do better than that. I know that was good. One more time, unshakable. That's the word that's been on my heart as we prepare to talk about this better kingdom. Unshakable. It's a four-syllable word. It's a big word. If you think about those of you who have children, the first time you heard your child say a four-syllable word, you're like, whoa, growing up, maturing, unshakable. Look at verse 28 and 29 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I love the way that the writer captures this summary thought at the end of chapter 12. There's a word therefore there, and we're going to talk about what comes before the therefore. It says we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, unshakable. If you're taking notes this weekend, you might write this down, that we are recipients of an unshakable kingdom because of the work of Christ. We are recipients. It says we are receiving. Those who have trusted Christ are receiving something that's unshakable. It doesn't say we can create this kingdom. It doesn't say we can work for this kingdom. It doesn't say we can build this kingdom on our own. We are on the receiving end of something good, and that's an unshakable kingdom. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a word that's a hope-filled word for me. It's a word of encouragement for me that we get to receive something. There was a gentleman in my office this week pleading with me to say, Kyle, just make sure that when it comes to the gift that we can receive here at Christmas, that we can receive any day of our lives from Jesus, make sure people know that it's not something they work for. Make sure people know that the gift that comes from Jesus is not something you can earn. Make sure people know that it's just about receiving and trusting in this gift. It's become fashionable to say things like, during the Christmas season, it's more about giving than it is receiving. Maybe you've heard that expression before. But I just want to turn that around a bit and say, no, first and foremost, it's about receiving. Not receiving the gifts that you're going to get under a tree, not receiving the gifts that you'll get in your family or office gift exchange, not receiving all the things that you put on your Christmas list for those of you that make such things. I've been told by one of my sons that he wants Beats headphones. Like, he wants a specific color. He doesn't want any other gifts. If there's one thing that he can open under the tree, he's saying, I want the family to buy me some Beats headphones. I'm like, that's all you want? He's like, that's all I want. And I can already tell, if that's not what he gets, we're going to have a deep conversation on what the real meaning of Christmas is on Christmas Day. But Christmas is not primarily about giving over receiving. It's primarily about receiving this unshakable kingdom. It's primarily about receiving this baby, Jesus, born in a manger in the most humble of circumstances, so that our eternal lives could be changed. And we're told in this text that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, so let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. There's a response that's described there that we're called to be filled with gratitude, filled with worship. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire, the text says. Consuming fire, that image in Scripture has always been about either destruction or purification. God came into the world. What we celebrate at Christmas is that God wants to take the things out of our life that are destructive and purify us to make us more like Jesus. And so Christmas is about receiving this unshakable kingdom. And as recipients of an unshakable kingdom, when we receive God's unshakable kingdom, that helps us to develop an unshakable faith. It's really just about trusting and receiving, trusting that God is working on our behalf, trusting that God wants to transform our lives, trusting that God did something amazing by coming into human history and living the life that Jesus lived. This has been one of those weeks where pastorally, I've watched some people go through some things that would shake their faith if it wasn't for an unshakable God. I mean, really, the hits seemed to start rolling in the middle of the week. Or on Wednesday, we heard about a man in his 50s, a son-in-law of a KCC couple, who passed away from a massive heart attack. He woke up that morning, had a heart attack, and was gone before lunchtime on Wednesday. And then on Thursday evening, a 58-year-old gentleman, who was such an encourager, prayer partner in the life of our church, went home, ate dinner, didn't feel well, threw up, felt better, ate a pear, and within 30 minutes was coughing and then was gone. Could not be revived by CPR. And I know that this man was looking forward to Jesus, but he leaves a wife behind who is mourning his loss. And then around the same time on Thursday evening, a 37-year-old gentleman, a brother of one of our congregants, is rushed to the hospital by ambulance and placed on life support. And by Saturday morning, is gone. Passed away, 37 years old. And I visited with that family in the hospital. And what I saw was there were some people who were wondering, how will I get through this? Because these are the kinds of things that can shake our faith. But what I've also seen in all of these families is that something is rising up in them. And they recognize that this unshakable kingdom that we receive can help us to develop an unshakable faith, that no matter what comes our way during this holiday season or in life in general, we can be confident and secure in a God who is working on our behalf no matter what comes our way. We can develop an unshakable faith. I attended a play this weekend at a church called Lamb of God in Grand Rapids, and there was a play called He's Able. And the woman who wrote the play shared her testimony. Her story, she said that her husband had encouraged her to write down her creative thoughts. She was always writing, but she had never put it to paper she had never put it to performance. She had never invited actors to come and perform her works. And so her husband inspired her to do that, and then her husband passed away. And so He's Able was the fourth play that she was presenting publicly. And she said these words. She said, when my husband died, I went to a very dark place. She said, if you're married, you'll understand that your husband or your wife, they're your soulmate. You share everything with them. They know you better than anyone else. And when they're taken away, it's a void that seems like it can't be filled. She said, I went to a dark place and I thought I was going to die too because my heart was so crushed. And she said, I would have lost my mind if it wasn't for God. You're hearing that. You're hearing, she's saying, my faith was shaken, and if it wasn't for this unshakable God, this unshakable kingdom, I don't know if I would have survived. But thanks be to God, she survived, and now she was taking her story and putting it into a play so that others could be inspired, that God is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine or think in the midst of difficult circumstances. We serve an unshakable God that invites us to receive an unshakable kingdom so that we can have an unshakable faith. Somebody say unshakable. It's a hope-filled word. But what precedes this part of the text? What is it that comes before this that leads this writer to write these words about this unshakable kingdom? Well, look at verse 25. It says, see to it that you don't refuse him who speaks. If they didn't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. The writer is describing the work of God in the Old Testament. that there were times where God tried to warn people through priests and prophets and judges. All you got to do is read through the Old Testament. You'll see how God often warned people through people. So constantly you see people saying, turn around, turn from your wicked ways, turn back to the Lord, get back on track. God still loves you, but God desires for you to do the right thing. Obedience will be the way for you to be saved. And people ignored those warnings. And maybe some of you sit here this weekend and you know God has been trying to warn you about something. He's been warning you to turn away from the things that you've been pursuing and turn towards the things of God. And the writer is saying, back in the day, they knew stories in their culture of what happened when people ignored the warnings of God, and there were consequences. I think about times in my life where I could have ignored warnings, times when I did ignore warnings. Some of you, you know what it's like to ignore warnings daily. Anybody driving around in a car that has a check engine light that's on the dashboard? Yeah, you're ignoring something. You're like, no, I know what it is. I know what it is. I'll just get it fixed in due time. You know what it's like to ignore warnings. I think about the warning that you see at rental car places when you pull in and then there are those spikes that are there and they say, do not back up. I'm just curious if anybody be willing to admit, have you ever backed up over those spikes because you ignored the warning? Good, or at least hopefully none of you are lying, right? I think about a time I was driving and I had gotten some body work done on my car and I didn't realize it when I left the body shop, but they forgot to reconnect the transmission line. And so I got within 2 miles away from the body shop and this computer warning came on the vehicle. It said, stop immediately. Engine failure imminent, right? It's like, if you don't stop right now, you're going to mess up something pretty significant. So do you think I stopped? Yes, I did stop. I pulled over and then I discovered what had happened. It was leaking transmission fluid. Some warnings we ignore. Some warnings are meant to not be ignored. The writer is saying God has often issued warnings about how it is that we are to live. And if folks couldn't escape the warnings or the consequences of ignoring those warnings in the Old Testament, how much more when God himself has broken into human history in the person of Christ, has given us a warning that one day he'll come back and one day there will be a separation. Those that followed and those that rejected, and people don't like to hear this sermon necessarily around Christmas where it's all happy, happy, joy, joy. But what we're told is that you can follow Christ and choose life, or you can reject Christ, do things your own way, and choose eternal separation from God. And some people think that they can ignore and not experience the consequences of ignoring that warning. And yet all of our choices have always led to consequences. And this writer is saying, there's a day that's coming. There's a day that's coming where the things will be shaken again. The heavens and the earth will be shaken. And our unshakable kingdom, God's unshakable kingdom that we can receive, requires a response to God's warnings. We have to respond. I think about a time in 2013 where my wife and I visited Christchurch, New Zealand. It's on the South Island of New Zealand. If you know anything about Christchurch, it's interesting. It has that name, Christchurch, but it's one of the places in the world where a lot of folks just don't believe in Christ, majority of the population. And so from 2010 to 2012, Christchurch was rocked by earthquakes, a series of earthquakes, 6 months apart, a whole bunch of seismic activity, as they say. The first set of earthquakes didn't kill anyone, but it severely damaged some buildings. The second set of earthquakes killed 185 people, and then there were more, and there were aftershocks. And so there were some buildings, many of the buildings in downtown Christchurch, that didn't fall. In fact, if you look at them from the outside, they look like they're in great condition. Some of you know where I'm going with this. You look at some people from the outside and it looks like things are going great, but you know that there's been some seismic activity in their lives that are shaking them at the foundation. And these buildings in Christchurch, even though they looked good, many of them were declared unsafe. Do not enter. Do not return. People literally left computers and desks and coats and office supplies and all these things, and they left to evacuate the buildings when the earthquakes happened. And because of the damage that was sustained, these buildings are uninhabitable and they need to be torn down. So you drive through downtown Christchurch, at least when we were there in 2013, before many of these buildings have been demolished, and it feels like a ghost town. things that look good on the outside, but that we should never return to. God is warning some of you, don't go back to what it is that you've been delivered from. Don't go back to what God has brought you out of. Don't go back, because those things that you used to inhabit need to be torn down. And this is what's happening in Christ Church. They're demolishing buildings, and then they're rebuilding. And as they rebuild, or in some cases with some of the existing buildings, they're trying to do these things known as seismic retrofits. All of the civil engineers in the room will appreciate that. Like, seismic retrofit, what is that all about? That's about trying to build an unshakable building, right? A building that can withstand the seismic activity of an earthquake. For many of us, what God is up to in our lives, what Christmas should be all about, is receiving this seismic retrofit that God wants to do, making us able to have unshakable faith as we recognize that there's an unshakable kingdom. God is rebuilding some foundations in lives. God is strengthening some of our structures so that when the storms inevitably come, we won't be shaken. Unshakable. It's a hope-filled word. It's an awesome word. It's what makes God's kingdom a better kingdom than any kingdom of this world. But what came before that in the text, this warning? Well, go to verse 18. The writer says, "You've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire." Think about that. He's alluding to the Old Testament, those times where we'd see a fire consuming something, but we could walk up to it and touch it. This was only a miraculous thing. To darkness, gloom, and storm. This was another way that God spoke in the Old Testament. To a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. And the writer references Exodus and Deuteronomy, where you're told, if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." This writer is saying, you haven't come to that kind of mountain. God is speaking in a new way, in a better way. Verse 22, "But you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word." There's that word, better word, than the blood of Abel. What the writer is saying is that you have better access to God because of the work of Christ. You and I have better access to this unshakable God and this unshakable kingdom because of what Christ did. Christmas is about receiving that gift, something that would make your life unshakable. Every time I say unshakable, I kind of feel like a superhero. Now, I don't want to like overemphasize it, but I just feel like there are those days when I recognize what I've received from God, and I feel like no matter what comes my way, nothing can shake my faith. Maybe you've had those days, you woke up and it almost feels like you feel that way, and then 8 o'clock comes and something tests you and you're like, "That's okay, Lord, I got an unshakable faith." Then 9 o'clock comes and it's like, "All right, Lord, what is it that you're up to here, allowing this in my life?" And then noon comes, you're like, "I'm not so sure anymore if I have an unshakable faith." No, you do. You have an unshakable faith because of an unshakable kingdom. God is speaking in a better way. God has given us better access to him. God is saying that, you know, it's not so much about this terrifying voice from heaven. No, it's about Jesus came into the world, lived a perfect life, shed his blood so that you and I could have better access to God through one person, through the person and work of Jesus. All of the other extras, the wrapping paper, the tree, the lights, the decorations, all of that pales in comparison to the gift that we can receive from Jesus. So I have one gift to buy every Christmas. It's Petrus, my wife. And I often wait till Christmas Eve to buy it. So if you ask me, am I done with my Christmas shopping? No. Any other procrastinators in the house, raise your hand if you're a fellow procrastinator. Thank you for your honesty. You can always join me at Celebrate Recovery on a Monday night for those recovering from procrastination. Some years I've done it early. Some years I've been at Walgreens after the 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service. Just saying, those as seen on TV gifts can work. As long as it's not a Chia Pet. I'm just... Or the clapper, clap on. No, What if all the lights went off? No. But whatever gift I buy, Petra, whatever gift you have left to buy, it's not the best gift. All right, here's a thought for you to consider. The best gift that we can receive this Christmas is the work of Christ to draw people into relationship with God in God's unshakable kingdom. That's the best gift. So whatever you have to do, I'm asking you. In fact, I would go as far as to say I'm begging you to not let all of the trappings of Christmas, all of the consumerism, all of the extras, cloud your view of Jesus. His work is the best work we can receive. I'd like to pray about that for us this weekend before we continue in our worship. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I know that there are things that have gone on this week that have shaken people's faith. And yet, Lord, I'm thankful that as you continue to work in us, you help us to develop a faith that's unshakable. You're not done with us yet, Lord. You're helping us to recover. You are doing the work of retrofit to strengthen our faith, Lord, strengthen our foundation in you. And God, I just thank you that we can receive your unshakable kingdom. I pray, oh Lord, that in the midst of all of the busyness of this season, all of the traditions that come with our culture, I pray that we would not lose sight of the one thing that matters most, Jesus. Lord, would you remind us daily that because of the work of Jesus, we have something that can never be taken away. We just need to trust you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.